Welcome to the program. This is the Brent Wall Show live at the Beyond Radio Network. 888-279-0626. That's 888-279-0626. How are the levels in there, Tim? Okay. We are in the Tampa Bay area, and it looks like we're going to be spared from the wrath of Isaac. And I think at this point, I don't know if it's been upgraded to a hurricane just yet. It was a tropical storm. It keeps moving further to the west of us here in the Bay Area. So it looks like we are going to be spared, but New Orleans, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi may not be so lucky. So I'm just hoping that those people get out of there and we don't have a repeat of Katrina in 2005.
Do you see some of those people? I hope they stay. I think they should go fishing.
Well, yeah. If they're voting Democrat, maybe we should just have them stay. Actually, round them all up into one area and make things a lot easier. So yesterday, I'm trying to get down here to the studio. And, of course, the conventions here, opening ceremonies were in St. Pete, in our home turf, over here at Tropicana Field. And it was just an utter cluster jam. I'm trying to get to the studio, and I knew there were going to be security checkpoints several days ago. But I'm heading in, and, of course, the police have the roads blocked off, and I pull it aside, and I give them the information. You know, they have to look my name up on a list. I give them my ID. And, of course, there's a problem. Oh, well, wait a second. Your ID is not matching your do you live down here? No, I don't live here. Oh, okay, well, we're only really supposed to be letting residents through. I said, well, yeah, but I have a studio here, and I'm trying to, like, they're like, conversing back and forth, these two officers. I get out of the car, trying to, like, explain my plight, and he's like, all right, back in the car, sir. Back in the car. I'm like, all right, no problem. So then, all right, we need to check okay.
Were you wearing the headscarf at that point in time?
I was wearing the burqa, yeah. Yeah, the turban was like, bumping up to the top of the roof of the car. So they want to check my trunk. Okay, no problem. But of course, I have a backpack vacuum that looks like a Ghostbusters pack in the back. They probably thought it was like a bomb. And then, of course, shooting targets were in the back, in the trunk. They were rolled up, but luckily, no bullet holes in them yet. I hadn't used them. And the whole time, I'm thinking to myself, they're going to like start questioning me. Luckily, they didn't. They close the trunk. They're looking in the back seat, the front seat. Oddly enough, I have my briefcase in the front. They didn't check that. They just opened the front door, closed it, opened the back, closed it. All right, we're going to have somebody escort you down to your studio. All right, that's fine. So I'm driving down 2nd Avenue, and I'm waiting. I'm looking over at the officer, and he's just like staring straight ahead. He won't make eye contact with me, so I'm like, all right, I guess I'm supposed to just drive forward. So I come down here, and of course, within like a minute later, he's got sirens going and he's right behind me and gives me my ID back. And he said, well, I need to make sure that you are who you say you are. So he's going to the front door to make sure I have keys and that I'm getting in. And of course, everything ended up being fine. But I understand that they have to have high level security, especially when you have, you know, Romney's here, Ryan, Governor Christie, all these politicians from all over the country. So they want to have high security. But at some point, you know, when I first pulled up, they were making it sound like the one officer, he was, you know, was not exactly very accommodating. He was making it sound like, yeah, you're probably not going to get down there today. And I'm like, well, that's not okay. I mean, I have stuff I have to tend to. And they just decide, well, sorry, we have the convention's here. They're having a cocktail party at the Trop. You're not going to get through.
And I have no comment.
No comment. Well, then I'm told that
you're dealing with idiots.
I haven't ventured over close to the Trop and over towards Central Avenue and First Avenue, and I was told they have barbed wire over there. So when did we become a society where we're keeping out whoever it is that they want to keep out with barbed wire?
Wasn't that a movie with Pamela Anderson? Wasn't she in a movie called Barbed Wire?
She might have been. I don't know what relevance this has to what I'm talking about. See, this is what he does.
I don't know.
I'm sticking to the issues, and he's, you know, wants to talk about some adult film.
Sounds
with
to me
Anderson
like you're bitching
it.
About St. Pete's Finest trying to keep the
no,
city safe.
No, I'm no bigger defender of law enforcement. There's no bigger defender than me, but I do have an issue when it seems like just a little over the top. You know.
Well, if you want to call in and discuss this with Brent, you can call in at 888-279-0626 or jump on the web at listentobeyond.com.
And by the way, for all of you Democrats and liberals out there who thought that the convention was going to get canceled because of the storm, it didn't. And I actually have several members of my family that are dyed-in-the-wool liberals, and they were just like very excited that over the possibility of the convention being canceled.
Well, you know, now the big thing is that they are going to limit the parties, and they're going to try to limit all this stuff because of the people that are going to potentially suffering in the panhandle and in the Gulf, you know, the Louisiana, Mississippi up there with right. with the storm coming up there. They want to limit the fun that they're having while those people are suffering. Well, what about all the people that have been out of work and been suffering for the last 4 years under this idiot president we have?
Right.
What about those sufferings, you know?
While he's been jet-setting around the world.
Yeah, and then you have that idiot Joe Biden going around making a joke about every other thing. I mean, it's just, you know... It's, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about last week with the guy that Todd out of Missouri, Aiken. Yeah. That, you know, there's a double standard, and it's a double standard that we allow to happen, and I don't understand why that is. I mean, I don't understand why that, you know, conservatives don't stand up and say, listen, we are going to live our lives. We're going to have fun. We're not having fun in celebrating that other people are suffering. But, you know, we're celebrating. We're celebrating life. We're celebrating, you know, the election of a new leader of our country, which we all hope to God happens, you know. And I just...
Well, what kills me is that we're not supposed to celebrate. Republicans, you better not celebrate right now. You better not show any sense of happiness about your... the nomination of Mitt Romney or any of that. But yet, wasn't it back in 2011 when we had the oil rig disaster and you had the individuals who perished in that accident? And Obama, how long did it take him before he responded? He was out campaigning. I believe he was in California.
When did he stop campaigning?
Well, exactly. But, I mean, he's out hamming it up out there, having a grand old time. Meanwhile, we had people on that oil rig who died as a result of the accident, but yet, you know, don't...
Isn't that when he was out there singing? Wasn't he on stage singing some song?
No, this because that the singing was more recent.
We'll say that. It's when he was out there singing.
He was being a jackass, as he usually does, is. But no, this was... I think he was out campaigning in California when that happened back in... Actually, no, it wasn't 2011. It was 2010 that happened.
I'm just going to adopt the Wasserman Schultz... You know, I'm just going to lie. Yeah, if it benefits me and my agenda, I'm just going to lie.
Even when
make
the liberal media is calling you out on it, and she's still, nope, it doesn't matter. Telling Anderson Cooper, doesn't matter.
Who is gay.
Who is gay. It doesn't mean anything. He just doesn't go to Chick-fil-A. Telling Anderson Cooper, doesn't matter. Anderson, you don't get it. It doesn't matter. I can lie and misrepresent the views of the Democrat Party and my own views, and it doesn't matter. And yeah. You, as a member of in good standing of the media, should know that. But, you know.
He is a good-looking guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson Cooper, yeah.
Is he? Okay.
Those eyes are a national treasure.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Vanderbilt.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. So Obama came out from his reclusive state this weekend. He gave an interview to the AP in the library.
Now, who is the AP?
The Associated Press.
Okay, I mean, yeah. They don't have a
network. The official stenographers of the White House.
Yeah.
They are. It was pathetic. Ben Feller interviewed him, and we have audio bites. Ben Feller, not Ben Stiller.
That's what I was going to say. Is he in relation? Meet the Fockers?
Yeah, he was, you know, robotically asking questions of the president, and, you know, of course, nothing probing, nothing critical of the president. Basically, he was asking questions about Romney. And, of course, Obama's sitting there with his legs crossed, arrogant as he usually is, and misrepresenting himself. Misrepresenting Romney's views and lying every 5 seconds about, you know, what do you think Romney's going to be like in the debates and this and that? And it's just, it was unbearable it was about 25 minutes worth of an interview. And I have sound bites, but I don't even know if I want to get to them because they're just so, I mean, we're going to have to stop every 2 seconds and refute everything he says.
Well, I haven't heard any. I'd like to hear a little, I've heard his lie before.
What's that?
I've heard him lie before.
Oh, I mean, it's just the same old thing, you know. Romney wants to throw old ladies out on the street and Medicare as we know it and voucherize the program. And that basically, if Mitt Romney is elected president, that we're going to return to the failed policies of the past.
Unlike the successful policies of today.
Right, correct. Yeah. Well, yeah. As he said, you know, we've tried, you know, the Republican policies, they didn't work. We tried our policies, the liberal policies, and they did work.
Where?
Well, that's what he claims. I don't see that any results. He claims that 4.5 million new jobs have been created.
Where?
I don't know where those 4.5 million jobs are.
In the government.
Yeah, last time I checked, we've lost millions of jobs because people have just stopped looking for work.
Well, I'm sure they probably have created that many jobs when the IRS...
In the federal bureaucracy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is just... It's absurd because all that's doing is requiring more taxes. I just, I don't understand that. I mean, you know how I am. I'm a anti-government. Well, not anti-government. I'm a minimalist, when it comes to government,
A minimalist?
Yeah, I think that's, essential personnel only. Like if you didn't
a
go to work.
A small government.
If you didn't go to work today because you were not an essential personnel, you shouldn't have a job.
But yeah, let's talk about this for a second. We basically have... supposedly tropical storm weather, but it's not even we get more rain showers on just a typical summer day than we've gotten today, and there's people not showing up for work.
What's so funny?
There's kids out of school.
Last night we were watching Fox, and they had the guy with the long hair that's usually out
Phil
of Miami,
yeah,
down in Key West, and there's like people playing in the water, and these like little tiny trickling waves, looking like maybe a boat had gone by or whatever. It was just absurd, and they're trying to make it sound like it's
like smiling from ear to ear, like almost laughing, like And they always, he must live in Miami because whenever they. Whenever they use him on any Fox broadcast, that's where he is. Down in, and he's always like hamming it up, having a good time.
Well,
so he's there laughing.
It's party.
It's not even the weather wasn't even bad. There's people out on the beach taking pictures, laughing. It's just looks ridiculous.
Serious weather, heading towards the Bay Area,
and here are these people out there laughing, carrying on. I mean, it's just.
Well, what frustrates me as a business owner is that I have crews that work outside in the weather. And I still do it, and I don't know why I do it, but I entrust that I'm getting good, information from these weather forecasters and these morons that they're looking for something, a news cycle, which I understand why they're looking for it, but I guess the big news story was that the RNC is going to be canceled because of the hurricane. Here comes Isaac into town, and he's just destroying everything. And that was the big play up. And so, now all my employees were, what's going to happen? It's supposed to deteriorate. The weather's going to get terrible today. It's nice outside. It's cool, overcast. The wind's blowing. It's a great day to work outside,
Exactly. I'd rather be mowing grass today than on one of the days it's 90 degrees. There's like no wind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so these idiots, put you behind today. And then, and then tomorrow is probably the day we're going to get the rain.
And like we talked about on the last show, the media just feeds into this. And it amazes me. People that have lived here all their life, and they buy into it, that, it's going to be... I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't be prepared. We should always be prepared. Because it's that one time that we aren't prepared and we're lackadaisical that we're going to get nailed. But at the same time, this alarmism that comes out of the local media and this 24-hour coverage of the storm, it's ridiculous. It people get all worked up. I mean, here we are. We're doing this show this morning. Tim shows up. We have other hosts that have showed up. I mean, it didn't... But yet, they kept the kids out of school. Of course, the first day of the RNC festivities were canceled. They're going to have to cram 4 days' worth of speakers into three. But it just causes all these problems. I mean, today is... the conditions aren't great, but, it's not... You would think cows are flying around through the sky, being whipped, cars being thrown off the street. It's not anywhere near...
I don't know why the newscast doesn't put somebody on a sound stage and have that stuff happen around them just to kind of, Here's what we were forecasting.
Yeah, and have a green screen behind him with, clips from Twister playing in the back with cows, flying around. Someone with a box fan blowing right next to him. It's terrible out here. Yeah. It's horrible. All right, so I have some Obama sound clips if you want to hear them.
Go ahead. Why not? He always brightens my day.
Yeah.
Mr. President, thank you for the opportunity.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Let's start with politics, of course. Mitt Romney's about to have the biggest political stage of his life at the Republican National Convention. What do you expect to hear from him, and how do you plan to counter it when you speak at your convention just a week later?
Well, I suspect that we'll hear at the Republican convention what we've been seeing in the millions of dollars worth of ads that have been running all throughout the country, and they basically have one message, which is the economy is not where it should be, and it's Obama's fault.
Yes, that's exactly what we're saying. Did you see my finger just ready to stop? He hadn't even been talking like 3 seconds. I'm already ready to stop him.
Well, you know what's funny is that the RNC, what they should do is take that clip. You know, the economy isn't where it should be, and it's Obama's fault.
Yeah.
In his own voice, and just use that over and over again.
It is his fault.
What a great sound clip.
Run these ads and say it's my fault. Well, it is your fault. I mean, your policies, you came into office, you had this mess on your hands, but guess what? So did Ronald Reagan. And what did he do? He dealt with it. And he didn't sit here and whine and complain, and 3 years later, blaming it on Bush. It's absurd.
Has no plan. He's got no budget. I mean, there's nothing, they're talking about, what irritates me? I'm sitting there listening to Morning Joe, which is the first thing I shouldn't do, but I'm listening because I listen to the Republican, the Fox, and all that stuff, and it really kind of bores me because they got a bunch of idiots on there as well. And so I turn it over and try to listen to, Imus I enjoy, but he's gone on vacation or something. I don't know if he passed or what. But I listened to Morning Joe this morning. It's just, these people are idiots. Oh, we don't know who Romney is. He has no plan. He's presented no plan. Yeah. Obama's been sitting up there for almost 4 years now, and he has no plan.
They don't know who Romney is yet. A week before Obama was elected in 2008, Charlie Rose of PBS and Tom Brokaw were sitting there going back and forth.
Well, we don't know really who Barack Obama is. We haven't seen his grades. How did he get into these colleges? We don't know what he's read.
I mean, they're sitting there, postulating.
Well, we don't know Obama, but yet they went ahead and voted for him and
donated
to his
campaign. We know who Obama is. He's a communist.
You're dropping the C word on him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so we know who he is, but they won't tell you. They won't talk about that,
And for those of you who think that's such a radical charge, you can't call him a communist. That's beyond the pale. Well, let's face it. We can at least say he's a radical left-wing. He's not just your run-of-the-mill. He's not a John Kennedy, Bill Clinton liberal. He is a leftist. He's pursuing socialist policies. I mean, and they're a failure. And he sits here in this interview with Ben Feller.
They got one message, it's my fault.
Well, yeah, it is your fault because you're not implementing pro-growth policies. You're implementing liberal policies that have never worked anywhere they've ever been tried.
What's his answer to that
statement?
Let's
go on.
And there will be variations on that theme. But I think when voters step back, what they're going to be looking at is who can move us forward. And we all understand that we just went through the worst recession and the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. People understand the millions of jobs that were lost before I took office, the 800,000 jobs that we lost the month I was sworn in. And they recognize that we've started to see some progress, 4.5 million new jobs created in the private sector, 500,000.
All right, I got to stop.
Hey, well, here's
That's
the thing.
Well, let me translate that first. Hey, it's still Bush's fault. But that whole line right there.
Do you know why 800,000 jobs were lost the month he was sworn in? Because business owners are like, holy shit, I've got to trim the fat.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And that's why. And he's still blaming that on Bush. And it wasn't on Bush. It was that, and I'll be honest with you, that the economy started to deteriorate Bush's last term, but really badly when when we kind of was clear who was going to be, and that it was not going to be John McCain. I mean, McCain, nobody expected. I wish it was John McCain,
the former owner of the Buccaneers.
Yeah. We get some great clips out of him.
Yeah.
But John McCain, there's no way that he was going to win. I mean, that was just a wasted candidacy.
The only reason his campaign had any life to it was because of Sarah Palin, period.
Right. Yeah.
I voted for Sarah Palin, not John McCain.
Right. And I bet you have. Do you have those videos with her?
No, I don't. Okay. No.
We won't even talk about that.
Tim has those videos.
Manufacturing jobs, saving the auto industry, but they also understand we've got to do more. And so the question is, what's the recipe for long-term sustained economic growth?
Not you. You are not the recipe for long-term sustainable growth. And what kills me, if we had a real, objective, fair media, as we should have, and we don't, if we did, they would be all over him for this. And it's Ben Feller clown. He's just sitting there, nodding, droning on, just sitting there, eyes rolling back in the head. I mean, challenge him on this.
Well, you know, I think folks understand what we need to move forward and who has the path to see us through.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, why wouldn't he be sitting? Well, Mr. President, with all due respect, you've been president for 3.5 years. You've implemented your policies. You had a supermajority in Congress through 2010. You pushed through your massive health care bill. You had stimulus spending. You've done all this, and yet, but see, it doesn't even matter because he just sits here and lies and says they've created 4.5 million jobs, and the media just
they don't challenge him.
Right?
They don't challenge him.
Basically, it doesn't even matter. He can just lie and get away with it, as does the DNC head Wasserman Schultz. And you know, hey Anderson, it doesn't matter because we can get away with it. We can lie, and you and the media are going to just keep perpetuating those lies, and that's how we're going to win re-election, because we don't have anything substantive to bring to the table. So we're not going to rely on facts. We're just going to keep lying, and that's basically what we're going to do.
Yeah, I guess we're home here was the St. Pete Times, which is now the Tampa Bay Times.
Same liberal rag.
Yeah, and they have, you know, they have all these organizations that come out of the Poynter Institute, you know, which is just, and I just don't understand how journalism has deteriorated to the point where it doesn't even exist anymore.
It doesn't, no.
It's that journalism, you know, ethics, which I don't even, do they teach that in journalism school anymore? I don't think they do.
Well, I don't even know why, I don't even know what they learn in journalism school, to be quite honest. And when I attended USF, I took some journalism classes, and I thought it was a joke. Quite honestly. So we're going to take a quick commercial timeout, and we will be back momentarily.
In 2008, I voted for President Obama with no reluctance.
He presented himself as something different.
I had hoped that the new president would bring new jobs, not major layoffs, not people going through major foreclosures on their homes.
He did get his health care through, but at what cost?
He said he was going to cut the deficit in his first term. I've seen zero interest in reducing spending. He inherited a bad situation, but he made it worse.
I think he's a great person. I don't feel he is the right leader for our country, though.
I still believe in hope and change. I just don't think Obama's the way to go for that.
The president has not earned re-election in 2012, in my book.
I've seen his now definition of hope and change. It's not the hope and change I want. It's not the hope and change I thought I was going to get. I don't feel that I helped my grandchildren by voting for President Obama, and I regret that.
Americans for Prosperity is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
That moment?
It was a moment that changed my life. I'd been training with my team for months, and now we had been called up for the first time. The real deal. Wildfires were getting dangerously close to home. At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
So, before we went to, as we were going to break, Scott says to me, oh, we just missed it this morning because we were watching coverage on Fox of the convention. And I guess
it was Morning
Joe. Well, we saw it, yeah, Morning Joe. As we were leaving, Prince, what's his name? Rince Priebus, excuse me, not Prince. Rince Priebus, who's the head of the RNC, he was on Morning Joe. And I guess they had Chris Matthews on there. And so I haven't heard this, so we're going to play it and see. I guess Chris Matthews snaps on Priebus over whatever, because he's not bowing at the feet of Obama. So we're going to play it and see what he says here.
Chris, you're a speechwriter. You were a speechwriter for Jimmy Carter. Obviously, Mitt Romney has some challenges in introducing himself to America. He's seen as, at times, stiff, a lot like John Kerry was seen in 2004 before his convention. What do you
well,
do?
Well, these are accurate assumptions, by the way, the voters have of these candidates. They've been watching them all for years, and these are realities. But I do think the great opportunity of a convention speech, I was in New Orleans in 88, where George Bush Sr., with the help of Peggy Noonan, I think, right, gave an amazingly empathetic speech where you first time in your life said, you know, I like this guy, George Bush, a lot because he recognized his own weaknesses. He said, I'm not very articulate. I'm not a great charismatic guy like Reagan, he was saying, but, you know, I'm a real patriot. And that was all true.
Read my lips.
Right. Yeah, that was in there, too. I don't think that was well advised. But the stuff about himself personally really broke through for the first time. Of course, he went into that convention something like 17 points behind. And I know there's a lot of negativity in that campaign, the Willie Horton stuff. But I think if he comes off as a mensch, as a person, and he hasn't done that yet.
I think the real issue for him is not to look into the camera and say, I'm the Orkin man. Call me. I'll be there.
By the way, your guy, I have to call you on this, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
You've been suggesting that somehow Obama's been running a negative campaign, and your guy's been running a positive campaign. That's not accurate. In fact, if they both stopped all the negative, I'm not sure who would win. But they've both been negative. That cheap shot about, I don't have a problem with my birth certificate, was awful. It is an embarrassment to your party to play that card. This stuff about getting rid of the work requirement for health for welfare is dishonest. Everyone's pointed out it's dishonest. And you are playing that little ethnic card there. And you can play your games and giggle about it.
Well,
but the fact is your side is playing that card.
Okay, well,
when you start talking about work requirements, you know what game you're playing. And everybody knows what game you're playing. It's a race card.
Who the hell's
and this
clapping?
Thing about a birth, if your name's Romney, you were well-born. You went to prep school. Brag about it. And this guy has an African name, and he's got to live with it. Look who's going further in your life. Just a minute.
You're really
who was born on third base?
Wait.
Hold on a second. He's still going. This is an objective journalist, right?
Yeah, the guy's crazy.
Attacking. He's like a nut.
I thought he was filming another commercial for his show.
He looks like Kermit the Frog with a toupee.
I know.
All right, we're going to keep going here.
Because Jimmy
Carter.
Wait.
Making fun of the guy's birth certificate issue when it was never a real issue, except from the right wing.
You think Mitt Romney's playing the race card?
When he said.
No, I'm asking, do you think he's playing the race card?
There's no doubt he did with his birth certificate.
No doubt.
Why would he bring it up? Why would he say, I have no problem with my birth certificate? What's that supposed to...
What the hell is he babbling about? I want to throw my shoe right at this screen right now. He's an idiot.
Romney
made a joke about the birth certificate. It's funny. You know, Obama makes crass jokes all the time. They don't have any problem with that. But don't you dare make a joke about the dear leader, or are you going to have Chris Matthews down your throat?
But what the hell does racism have to do with the birth certificate?
I know. I don't even understand this. They're trying. They're making a non-issue out of something, and they want to take away.
Although they're making an issue out of a non-issue is what they're trying to do.
Obama's not running negative ads. Your campaign's running. Hey, you're the one running negative ads. It's just absurd. Let me see how much more he babbles on here.
He's an awkward joker.
Because he misfired badly on the joke.
Why would he do it?
Well, I'm just asking you. Do you think that Mitt Romney is playing the race card?
On that one, yeah.
Do you really?
Oh yeah, and I think his work requirement fits right into it.
That's the race card too, huh?
Of course it is. Welfare?
No.
Food stamps?
Well, I mean, I'm happy. Chris,
absolutely.
I'm happy.
You can chuckle about it.
Well, now let him respond,
Mr. Chairman, because you have to flack this issue.
No, the fact is, you know what's going on.
Okay, let him respond. Well, you got your monologue in, so.
No.
Congratulations. You know, you got you're loaded up. You got it out.
Well, you from the beginning this morning began the negativity on Obama.
The fact of the matter is that he's from Michigan. He was born in Michigan.
Yeah.
He's making the point that I was born in Michigan. And you know what? We've gotten to a place in politics that any moment of levity is totally frowned upon by guys like you, just so that you can, you know, push your brand. You know what? Good for you. It's a moment of levity. Everybody
gets it. What was
the joke? Barack Obama came out at the correspondents' dinner with his own joke, as you remember,
what's the
a couple
joke
years
the fact
ago,
he has
playing the Hulk Hogan song, I'm a Real American. Every person, myself, starting in February of last year, as soon as I became chairman of the RNC, Mitt Romney continuously has said, this president was born in this country. It's a non-starter.
Right.
It's a dumb issue. Yeah. It's a distraction. Forget about it.
It just seems funny that the first joke he's ever told in his life was about Obama's birth certificate.
It's
a funny choice.
I disagree with Chris on this.
And they're all clamoring like seals.
Yeah, well, I mean, well,
you know, they're so objective. They're all
who was on that panel?
Oh, a whole line of idiots here. You've got Mika Brzezinski, and who else do you have? Chris Matthews, Tom Brokaw, Joe Scarborough, the quote unquote conservative, and there's some clown at the end here with his legs crossed. I don't know, wearing no shoes with loafers. I don't know who it is.
Now, Scarborough's the guy with the glasses, right?
Scarborough has the glasses.
God,
yeah,
he
him
looks
and
like an idiot, doesn't he?
Scarborough and Mika are the hosts.
Now, I mean, Scarborough looks like, what's his name, out of the comedian that used to be on Saturday Night Live. What's his name?
that Al Franken used
Al
to play?
Al Franken. Al Franken,
or,
yeah.
Or the guy that Alec Baldwin played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either one. Pick your clown.
Man.
But this is just, this is ridiculous. This is supposed to be, well, of course, this is on MSNBC, so it's not exactly an objective media. They're full-fledged leftists. But talk about ganging up on the guy. And I thought he handled himself, defended himself very well. And again, he pointed out what I just said. Obama does this, makes jokes, and doesn't get called on it. The real American playing the Hulk Hogan entrance music and making a joke about it. Oh, they don't have a problem with that. But Matthews has his panties all in a wad over this.
But see, here's the, I believe this is the, what they, the RNC should adopt, that would say, you know what, at this point in time, it doesn't matter if he was born in the United States or not, he's destroying this country.
Yeah.
Who cares? Because you know what, it doesn't matter.
But that's what they have to do. They have to make non-issues out of this stuff. What he should say is, well, Chris, why don't we talk about what your president's done over the past 3.5 years? He's deindustrializing the United States of America. He's killing off jobs. He talks that Romney's going to be the one sending jobs overseas. He's sending jobs overseas. It's just absurd. They have to make these non-issues, well, issues out of non-issues.
And he's not only sending jobs overseas, he's sending money overseas. I mean, all the money they sent down to Brazil for the oil wells. I mean, they, you know, the money they gave in, for the vehicles that are being made in Sweden or wherever. I can't remember the name of that company. You know, one of the green organizations that he supported that, you know, not only jobs, but our money's going over there, you know, and it's just...
Well, and these people act like they're not leftists and they're not Marxists, but this is what Marxists do. Keep lying and keep telling the lie, and sooner or later, Lenin said this, that people are going to believe it. It becomes fact.
I like the little hit he gave him, that you're coming here all juiced up, you know.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You know, because Chris Matthews used to be a big drinker, and I think he still is, and, you know... And,
have
and
you the, seen, yeah. yeah. Have you seen some of his opening monologues on Hardball?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. He's like, what's his name, from the baseball movie?
I thought he had a stroke at first.
It's the bottom of the fifth. Speaking of the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah, Harry Carey.
Yeah, Harry Carey. Yeah, Tim, you got to see this video. It's just over the top. He's foaming at the mouth. It's just, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, the guy's an, you know, he's a speechwriter for Carter. That's his claim to fame, I guess. And I mean, I can't remember one speech that Carter ever gave that was memorable.
But all these people are so-called journalists. They're all Democrats. They're all liberals. They all worked on former presidential campaigns. Bob Beckel's the same thing on Fox. He worked for Walter Mondale.
I want to bring up a little Bob Beckel thing. You know, he had that little cursing thing, you know, that he's been doing on TV.
The F-bomb, yeah.
And then he was there the next day, but then he hasn't been back.
Really?
It's been Juan Williams.
Oh, that's right.
So did Beckel get the boot?
Well, maybe he's going to end up on MSNBC.
Because he used that F-word. Oh, that's where he belongs. He belongs sitting right there on right between Al Sharpton and
Hardball.
Oh,
yeah, he's constantly spewing from the Democrat playbook.
Yeah, the
it's pathetic.
That guy's an idiot. And he's a drunk. I mean, all these
as
guys
much
are
as
drunk.
And Juan Williams, who's on the five, he's a liberal, but he just he's different. He's just a dyed in the wool. I can't the
you
difference. It's like Beckel's reading right from the playbook. It's so bad.
But you know, Juan Williams, both his kids are conservative.
Right. You but know, he's not nearly as bad as Beckel.
Yeah, but you know what? I felt sorry for him when he got fired from PBS, but now I think Fox should fire him.
NPR.
The guy's,
yeah.
NPR, whatever. But same difference.
What's the difference? They're all the same. Yeah. But no, he sounds like, Beckel sounds like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, where she just gets on there and lies, and she gets called out on it by liberal media people, and she still just keeps droning on, saying the same things. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I think she's an alien.
She might be.
She looks like an alien.
There might be a battery pack in her, like the back of her head or something. And if you turned it off, she'd be like Flobot.
I think they load the data in there and she just spews out whatever the...
Barack Obama has created 4.5 million jobs. Barack Obama. I mean, she's just like a drone. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. When Anderson Cooper is trying to help you along, Debbie,
yeah.
They didn't actually say that. And she's still just going on about Republican ads.
It's over the top.
It's ridiculous.
Over the top.
It's really ridiculous.
If you want to be a part of the show, call in to 888-279-0626. Catch us on the World Wide Web at listentobeyond.com. You can listen to the show there live, 11 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And you can also listen to the podcast there. So a lot of unearthed information. And make sure you also check out preservingliberty.net. That's Brent Wall's blog. A lot of good information there.
I'm sure to offend somebody on there.
Yeah.
If you haven't been offended yet by something I've said on the program, just go there. I'm sure you will be. So we are going to take a quick commercial timeout. Don't go away.
You paid into Medicare for years. Every paycheck. Now when you need it, Obama has cut $716 billion from Medicare. Why? To pay for Obamacare. So now the money you paid for your guaranteed health care is going to a massive new government program that's not for you. The Romney Ryan plan protects Medicare benefits for today's seniors and strengthens the plan for the next generation.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
How many jobs did Barack Obama create as a community organizer, as a law professor? Maybe now you see the problem. Mitt Romney turned around dozens of American companies and helped create thousands of jobs. He rescued an Olympics hit by scandal, took over a state facing huge deficits, and he turned it around without raising taxes, vetoing hundreds of bills. And Mitt has a detailed plan to turn around America's economy. Mitt Romney. Restore our Future Inc. is responsible for the content of this message.
Since 1996, welfare recipients were required to work. This bipartisan reform successfully reduced welfare rolls. On July 12th, President Obama quietly ended the work requirement, gutting welfare reform. One of the most respected newspapers in America called it nuts, saying, if you want to get more people to work, you don't loosen the requirements, you tighten. Mitt Romney's plan for a stronger middle class will put work back in welfare.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Program 888-279-0626 is the telephone number if you want to call in. And we're just talking about the RNC and liberal media bias, and it doesn't seem to ever end, quite honestly. And this thing this morning with Chris Matthews is just over the top. And I hope, here's the sad thing, is that there's only probably like 10 viewers watching MSNBC to see this. So I'd rather him be on any other network, and he'd be getting...
What was funny is they were doing it at the Elephant Bar over in Tampa. You know, I don't know why they weren't doing it the Jackass or somewhere. Wouldn't yeah. that be better?
Yeah, he belongs to the improv. Because he's making more people laugh than actually informing anyone.
Him and Biden, that could be... He could sit on Biden's lap, and Biden could stick his hand up his ass and act like a puppet.
Yeah, dumb and dumber. Yeah.
You know?
Dumb and dumber, no doubt. And Ron Paul... Of course, he has to get his moment in the sun. He had a rally yesterday in Tampa at the University of South Florida Sun Dome, which is where the university has their basketball team. They play there. They have concerts there. And I guess it seats about probably, I want to say 18,000 maybe. And there were about 10,000 people there, purportedly.
Good turnout.
Yeah, good turnout. And I believe a lot of people that show up to these Ron Paul events are well-intentioned, but they're really misinformed because Ron Paul is a total fraud.
It's a hemp fest.
Hemp fest.
That's
yeah.
why they're there. They're legalized
there.
Marijuana.
The number one thing. What are you here for? Defeating Barack Obama? No, I'm here. I'm really interested. I'm a libertarian. I'm interested in legalization of marijuana. John Popper from Blues Traveler, the lead singer, was on Fox this morning. And he's a so-called libertarian. Of course, he's going to vote for Barack Obama again. How are you a libertarian and vote for Obama? But he's on there. And I'm interested in, legalization of marijuana. That's like the wacko. All these people that claim, that's like libertarians aren't. I mean, that might be way down on the list, but that's not the first thing.
Ron Paul would go out public and say, I do not believe that they should legalize marijuana, he would lose probably 80% of his base.
They would have just left last night.
They would have left. They would have left, you know. But I did see where he said that if he was in charge, that 9/11 would never happen.
Which is absurd.
Right. Well, maybe that's because the government had a hand in blowing up the buildings. Is that what he's saying?
Oh,
he
yeah.
Would have done that?
Which, of course, he won't denounce.
Right.
He's
exactly.
been asked by reporters about that, and he... I can't talk about that right now. He's on video. They have audio of him. Well, any person with half a brain denounces that as kookery. It is absolutely just absurd, and he won't denounce it. And I can't remember what, it wasn't a major media figure that asked him. He was in a crowd. Some wacko asked him about it. You know, one of these conspiracy theorists, and he wouldn't, oh yeah, you know, I can't really talk about that now. This was during the primary. He didn't want it to blow up. Well, of course it did. People talked about it. But so he's there yesterday, and this is the same guy who claims that, you know, the problem is that people say, oh, there's a lot of good things I like about Ron Paul. Yeah, but here's the problem. The 2% that's really bad about him disqualifies him completely, and that's his foreign policy.
Yeah, foreign policy is horrible.
Even John Popper, some, you know, rock star, quote-unquote libertarian who's voting for Obama. Yeah, you know, I don't agree with his foreign policy. Who does? Yeah. Once you really get down to it.
And that's his biggest policy. I mean, you take away marijuana and the Fed, and then everything else that he talks about is foreign policy. He's, you know, no money, nowhere, isolation.
He claims he's during the primary, he ran as, well, I'm the real conservative in this race. He's not the real conservative. He has Ronald Reagan cutouts yesterday at his thing. People are posing next to him. He wants to act like he's, you know, emulating Reagan, or he has some tie to Reagan. He denounced Reagan in the 80s.
Yeah, Rick Santorum was the true conservative, and Michelle Bachmann. Those were the two true conservatives in the race. I mean,
Ron Paul is like a Articles of Confederation wacko.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't
nuts.
Even support the Constitution.
Yeah, the guy's nuts.
So, but this idea that, you know, well, I'm the Reagan conservative. He disavowed Reagan when Reagan was president. And a lot of young people don't know that. That support him. I mean, he's all
of
a conservative.
They don't care. It's all about legalization of marijuana.
Should he just run? His platform should just be legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, I mean, his campaign shirts should be made out of hemp. I mean,
could he siphon off every youth Obama voter by just saying to them, "Listen, you vote for me, and I will legalize marijuana. That's my first thing I'm going to do. Not building the Keystone Pipeline. Not doing anything else." First thing not repealing Obamacare, the first thing I do if I'm elected is I will legalize marijuana.
But why doesn't he run for the mayor of the state? What state is Ron Paul
representing?
Texas, that's what I thought. Why? I mean, how the hell do they vote that idiot in every time?
But he's been in office for like 30 years.
Why does he run for governor of Texas and legalize marijuana in Texas?
Because he wouldn't win. It's just he's in a – I don't know what district he's in. He's gotten reelected like a million times. He's like 150 years old.
Well, you know, that's strange because Kay Billy Hutchison's retiring, and he's probably not far behind him. So, you know, we got to get some good. I know there's some good young people coming out of Texas. You know, Cruz was.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing is as much as we are running Ron Paul down, I'd rather have Ron Paul than some liberal Democrat.
Barbara Boxer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of liberal, your buddy Charlie Crist, we saw him Saturday night, he was at a party at Banquet Masters over off of Park Boulevard. But he's going to be endorsed. He's endorsed Obama.
He has endorsed Obama.
And he will be a speaker. I guess, I don't know if it's official. Chris Camp's announcing that he will be a speaker at the Democratic
National
Convention.
Yeah.
The convention has not confirmed that, so I'm going to go ahead and say that he is. I mean, I don't see what the benefit of Chris to say. But, you know, I think his total turn, I think Chris was making the turn just because he's a power-hungry moron. But I really think that John Morgan had a lot to do with because John Morgan, for those of you that don't know, you know, Morgan & Morgan is a big Obama supporter, big Democrat, big bleeding heart. And the reason that Morgan, John Morgan, is a Democrat, my belief anyway, is that tort reform. Attorneys, you look at attorneys across the board, most of them, if they're litigators, they support a Democrat because they do not want any tort reform. And if you look at the presidents and the vice presidents over the last, you know, 20, 30 years, and the senators and the reps in the House, you know, most of the Democrats are all attorneys. You know, the Republicans have some business owners, and we do have our fair share of attorneys. But Democrats is just everybody has a law degree in there, and tort reform is a big issue with, and so they're not gonna.
No.
You know, you used to work for a couple that had a law firm, and they're Jewish, and which, you know, they voted for Obama, and you know, destroying everything that the Jews hold sacred, and that they need our help in, and if they still vote for him, and they vote for him because of tort reform.
Right. I don't think they're voting for him this time, but. Back to Charlie Crist. For those of you who don't know, he was our governor here in the state of Florida. He was a Republican. He ran for the Senate, And once it was clear that he was going to basically lose to Marco Rubio, he became an independent.
Yes. Yes.
And Kendrick Meek, the Democrat, of course, both of them lost. I think Crist ended up with, he was in third place.
No, I think he beat Meek.
Oh, he did beat Meek.
I think Meek had 7 or 8 votes.
Yeah. Maybe 12. Yeah. but it was, yeah. And so now he's basically a Democrat. I mean, he's fully behind Obama. So the guy's purely political. It's definitely a power thing. And back in the 90s, we thought Charlie Crist was a decent individual. But
I thought he did a good job as governor.
And he had some good opinions on gun laws and whatnot.
Absolutely.
I mean, he seemed like a halfway decent conservative. But this turn that he's taken and backing Obama is just...
He's got our state rep Darrell Roussans over there, Morgan and Morgan is like the home of the failed politician or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like I wouldn't be surprised if Rick Craceman, you know, who is another state rep here in Pinellas County, doesn't work for him as well. I mean, it's they bring him over there and I think they just brainwash him. It's kind of like the Scientologist. I think they bring him over there, and you know they.
Yeah, pretty soon he's going to move to downtown Clearwater.
Yeah, they're just playing the same stuff over and over again, and just brainwashing them.
Yeah, are we going till 11 or noon? Or are we ending it? Can we go to noon? All right, nobody's going
to
stop us
noon,
if
yeah.
we do.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a big write up. Oh, and by the way, today's Tampa Bay Times. You will not find. I'm like looking for stories on Obama, and it's like they had a story about campaign fundraising and the numbers and whatnot, and they mention Obama in there, but of course nothing critical. But I mean, they don't want to talk about Obama.
If you want the critical stuff, you got to go to Politico.
Oh yeah,
those are the guys right. that really put it out there.
And I really like how lately on the cover, on the front page of the Tampa Bay Times, they have Tampa Bay Times and Politico. And for those of you who don't know, Politico is not exactly some objective media source. There is no objective media source. I'm beginning to wonder if Fox is even objective with some of the crap I see on there.
No, it's not.
And the way Rupert Murdoch has conducted himself.
Yeah. Well, you heard that. I mean, the big news with that is that the paper that Murdoch owns over in the UK released those photos of...
Which is kind of like almost like one of those rags you see in the grocery store before you check out.
Yeah.
A tabloid, essentially.
But none of the other tabloids over there did it. You know, they respected the royal family saying, please don't do that. But, you know Rupert Murdoch's... organization over there decided to do that, you know, which, I had the opportunity, Brent and I both went to a event on Saturday night for one of our relatives. It was her 15th birthday, which they call that the Quesenta or?
I don't know. She's of Mexican heritage, and I guess when they turn 15, it's a real big deal. It's similar to when a Jewish male turns 13, they had the bar mitzvah, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal, and, you know, really, and it cost... her parents a large sum of money. I mean, it was put on top notch, and the kids got together and they did some dancing things. You know, it wasn't anything like
Fred Astaire.
Too Legit to Quit or Fred Astaire, but you know, it was entertaining.
They put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, their commitment and everything. You know, and I was really happy to be a part of that. And it just goes back that I don't even remember what my point is on this, but. It goes back that we've lost those values. You know, we've really lost those values of putting family first and doing all that stuff. And I don't even know how I got on this tangent, but there you go. hey, maybe I shouldn't have been out drinking with Chris Matthews last night. So. But, you know, the movie with Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah, I talked about it on our last program, 2016 Obama's America, has been like... When last show, I said, oh, yeah, it's showing at like 3 theaters. I think it was like a couple in Tampa. I get on the website over the weekend, and it's like killing it. It's at like Parkside. It's everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think they were 7th.
I think it was 4th.
Fourth. I'm sorry. Maybe it was 4th.
Number one documentary and 4th among just...
At limited theaters,
general
too.
Cinema. Yeah, The Expendables 2, I think, was up at the top of the list, and then so was 2016. So if you guys haven't seen it, hopefully I'm going to go see it today. I wanted to see it yesterday. 2016themovie.com is the website. And if you don't know who Dinesh D'Souza is, he is the president of King's College in New York. He's a great conservative. He worked in the Ronald Reagan administration. And he did this documentary. Basically, it's not like anything else you've seen about Obama. He really provides a lot of substance as to Obama's background. his mentors, the people who kind of shaped his worldview. And from all I can tell, it appears to be awesome. I've seen the trailer, and I'm reading the book that was released in conjunction with the film, Obama's America. And he just, you know, a lot of the pundits out there, conservative pundits, you know, we're all over Obama. And, you know, I'm reading a book by Monica Crowley that just came out, What the Bleep Happened. And it's almost like a long blog post. She just goes after him on, and it's good. But this is the book that you want to give to some of our liberal family members and just have them read this, because it's not scathing. It's not confrontational. It just lays it out fact by fact, and it shows how Obama has become the person he is today, which, you know, with a chip on his shoulder about the country, vindictive. And it's just, I like to see anybody refute the information in this movie and in the book.
But the truth of the matter, he's just another pasty white guy out there writing about Obama.
It's actually not, though. He can't make that charge. He's from India.
Really?
Yeah, hence the name.
A
Dinesh
minority?
D'Souza.
Yeah. A minority? I thought maybe he just
Yeah, he's not
name.
Some pasty white guy. He's not, John McCain or, he's from India. So,
you know, it's kind of a joke and... with the Heritage Foundation, they come out with their calendars every year,
yeah,
and
yeah.
all the pictures are just these, you know, pasty white guys in these.
they have like the photo shots of the interns, or they group them all together, and it's like no black people.
Yeah,
this is really feeding into the stereotype.
There's
here.
One at out in front of Mount Vernon, and they got all. And there's just one African American in that picture.
He's going to be forever branded as an Uncle Tom throughout his whole life, as every black conservative is.
But see, you know what I understand is that, you know, they say that's a stereotype, but it's somewhat factual. I mean, you know, we have been that party of the old pasty white guy, you know, and what I understand is that.
But
you
it
know,
didn't start out that way.
It's a double standard, though. I mean, you know, if you talk about, African Americans and fried chicken and. Or whatever, you know, it's they get these, you know, stereotypes, but they're some of them are factual.
But what's so funny is that the Republican Party, when it first started, the party of Lincoln, there were most blacks supported the Republican Party because it was the party of anti-slavery. The Democrat Party was the party of slavery. Lincoln was a Republican. He was, you know, chiefly the one involved in abolishing slavery. So that, I mean. Most blacks back in the 1860s were Republicans, but now it's totally flipped. And the Democrats have basically rewritten history. They're the party of blacks. They're the ones that stand. They're the party of racism and slavery.
Well, you know, the argument that would be that, you know, that Hank Williams Jr. was a Southern Democrat. And now he's a conservative Republican, you know. So, I mean, you know, and he writes all those, you know, I mean, he's horrible. I mean, we were listening to Jay Moore on the...
I like Hank Williams Jr.
So do I, but...
Jay Moore was all over. It was
funny.
Yeah, saying it's like his beard was like taped on. It's all crooked. It was funny. I like Hank Williams. It was funny.
Yeah.
He's like, even his dad thinks he sucks. Like, that's terrible.
Jay Moore's a funny, funny guy. So if you ever have a chance to listen or go onto YouTube, check it. Jay Moore's just funny, man.
Yeah, really tasteful stuff, especially when they go after conservatives. It's really great.
So today, the Republican National Convention is going to meet and then quickly adjourn. That's this afternoon, I think. I don't think that's happened as of yet.
They're going to strike the gavel, and then I guess it's going to
run out.
Yeah.
Take cover. Storm's coming.
They're heading over to the Treasure Chest, 2001.
Right.
All the strip clubs.
Channel Side's probably rocking today.
Oh, yeah.
Rocking today. So, but you know, the people that live here can't get there. So, you know, you're SOL if you want to go down there and hang out with Chris Matthews or any of those guys. Because unless you have a reason to be down there, you're not going to be able to get down there.
Well, I'm going to try to get down over to the forum and hand him a box of tissue so he can wipe the spittle from his mouth. I'm getting so excited this morning. But, that was over the top.
He's the guy. The guy's funny. He is funny. He doesn't mean to be funny. But he's funny to watch.
He's like, just, you know, really providing like just such great insight.
And where's Saturday Night Live on this stuff, dude?
They won't touch
incredible
it.
Incredible material.
They'll touch it here and there a little bit, but they
Like when they do Al Sharpton, it's very light, touching. It's
They have the kid gloves on, definitely.
Right, yeah, they're not Sandusky-ing anybody over there.
No, they're not Sandusky-ing anybody. All right, folks, we'll be back Wednesday morning, and thanks for listening again. We'll see you then.